Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and talking about the triathlon that I completed, an Olympic distance triathlon a couple of Sundays ago as part of the Riverhead Rocks Triathlon. Now, 2016 was a particular challenge for me because I hadn't done a triathlon in 4 years. Back in 2012, I did the Riverhead Rocks Triathlon. It was actually the inaugural year for the Riverhead Rocks. And because it was a new race, and I don't think that many people knew about it, there were fewer contestants. And also, the way that it works is you are judged in terms of your age group. So at that time, I was 59. And it was, I was 59. And so the age group is 59 to 64. So I was right in the youngest part of that 59 to 64 age group. And at the end of the race, I finished and I felt pretty good about it. And then I went home. And then, somebody called me up and said, "Hey, you know, you won the race." And I said, "Really? I won the race?" I said, "No, I didn't. Come at first." So, "No, you won your age group, because obviously, the winner is going to be a 20 something or a 30 something, but, they give you credit for being the first in your age group." And so, I was very excited about that because I'd never won any race in my life. But, if I keep doing this, I might be the last man standing. The competition, will dwindle away. And I'll ultimately win. So I was encouraged in 2012, and then I did another triathlon. And then, I was 59, I turned 60 right around then, and it was almost as if my warranty had expired. I developed a nagging plantar fasciitis, which really prevented me from running. And I also started experiencing some really nagging pain in my back and hip. And, possibly when I'm overzealous running schedule, maybe I was just trying to do too many things because I was experiencing, I do a lot. I'm seeing patients and I'm doing a lot of projects. And I was involved also in, at that point, relaunching Intelligent Medicine, going from just a purely radio format to an internet format and a podcast format. So I had a lot on my plate. And maybe the stresses of, the training and all that and caught up to me, but I really wasn't sure that I'd ever be able to do another triathlon because I just felt so wiped out for a while. Even a trip to the museum seemed a chore. I remember one winter's day, I said, "I really want to go to the museum." It was on a Sunday. And, I said, "Let me head out, go up to the museum." And I walked to the subway station here in New York, a matter of a couple of blocks. And I said, "I just don't have it." And I just went back home and said, "I need a rest." And that was just so uncharacteristic that I, being a doctor, I have the ability to run tests, and I'm so the opposite of a hypochondriacal person. I almost never test myself to a fault. But at that point, it just didn't feel good, and I ran a battery of tests on myself to see if I had inflammatory markers, because at the very age that I was at the time, my mother suffered from crippling rheumatoid arthritis. And I thought, "Oh my goodness, maybe genetically I'm very prone to this." And the tests all came out negative. I tested myself for Lyme disease because I felt like I'd been bitten by a tsetse fly, sleeping sickness. I just felt just a lack of vitality. And, I really wasn't sure, what to do. I addressed the plantar fasciitis with just stopping running for a while, which is grievous to me because I really enjoy the freedom of just putting on some running shoes, getting out there, 11 months out of 12, when it's above 20 degrees and it's not icy, you could do it year round. It almost requires no equipment. You get outside, you get in the elements, you feel like a healthy, thoroughbred running. And I thought, can't do that anymore. And that was really sad, but I said, I've got to rest my foot. I got orthotics. I did nighttime foot splints, which prop your foot at a 90-degree angle when you sleep. See, it's actually good to keep your foot in neutral while you sleep if you have plantar fasciitis. So I dutifully wore that. It was kind of an uncomfortable apparatus to wear in bed, and did it dutifully for 6 months. And then I also did a lot of calf and hamstring stretching, because the thought behind plantar fasciitis is that there's upstream tension in your leg that puts pressure on your plantar fascia. And if you have tight calves and tight hamstrings, that translates downward. So I stretched dutifully. I also incorporated a process called MELT, which is kind of a self-care with rollers that you can read about. Go to meltmethod.com. And also you use little hard, soft and hard balls in alternation that you roll under your feet that are very helpful for recovery from plantar fasciitis. And so I took some classes in that, and then I did it religiously at home. And the heel pain subsided after a while, but I was still felt constrained by my body pain. And to the point where I still wasn't right a couple of summers ago. You know, I was able to exercise a little bit, but I just had no stamina. And we know I would swim, my arms would feel heavy, my back would hurt, you know, my runs were very limited. And, you know, sometimes I would just, you know, after, I recall specifically, you know, I like to grill. You know, I'm the grill master when people come to my house on weekends at my summer house. And I recall something very uncharacteristic, because I would grill and I would just say, excuse myself to the company and say, just, I have to lie down. I'm just really tired. And so, so at a certain point, I consulted, a couple of years ago, I consulted a sport chiropractor who was himself a long distance runner. And I committed myself to twice weekly adjustments. I hadn't done chiropractic for maybe 30 years. And it was really great, because I didn't get instantaneous results, but I could tell I was on the right path. And after a few months of this, my pain began to subside. And so keep in mind that I hadn't been running all this time. And, you know, I was kind of scared of running. I thought, you know, it's going to trigger this back pain and hip pain. And my chiropractor said, no, you should run. You definitely should run, because I want to see if this is working. Because it's no good if I can make you feel better while you're just sort of sitting around. This should be a dynamic rehabilitation. And part of it is that you have to begin running again. So gingerly, I began running first a mile, and then a couple of miles, and then 4 miles. And I started to feel that instead of making me worse, the running was actually making me better and stronger. And so I instead of coddling myself, I began to recondition my lower extremities, my leg muscles that had been kind of a little bit put out to pasture. All the while I was able to do pool sessions. Pool sessions are good because they tend to ease up on your lower body. It's mostly upper body when you swim. So, I wasn't quite there yet. And it was sort of the end of 2015 that I began to hear about the Whole30 diet, which I've written extensively about. And if you asked me around Christmas time whether I was going to do triathlon, I would have said, you know, I'd like to, but realistically, I'm not sure that that's going to happen, Christmas time of 2015. But I discovered the Whole30 diet, which is a paleo diet, and I committed myself to it. And I said, let me do this for 30 days. I started on Christmas Eve. And I haven't looked back since, because it really made me feel energized. And I've been adhering to it pretty much religiously. I can count, I think, on two hands the number of, you know, small glasses of wine I've had since then. Part of it is to not have any alcohol. There's no sugar. There's no grains. There's no legumes. There's no dairy. And so the net result of that is that I really felt energized. And it also helped me with my focus, my mental focus, and my ability to work long hours in the office, and the ability to sit down and write and do podcasts like this with a clear mind and good energy. But I also, with this diet, have been able to absorb increasing training loads. You know, it used to be that I would train. I can remember year in, year out, that I would train and really get on a roll. And then all of a sudden I have these cycles where, like, oh, I don't know, maybe you've experienced this. My muscles just started to ache so much that, you know, I felt like I needed to go into a, like an ice bath for hours on end until that would abate. And that sometimes that cycle would take, a week or so to dissipate. And of course, when that happens, you can't really train hard. And if that happens before a race, woe unto you, because, you know, you're going to really have a lousy, unpleasant experience going into a race if your muscles are really sore. Well, there's something about the Whole30 diet that seems to have really helped to clear up those periods of body achiness. And that's one of the reasons why, after experiencing myself, I recommend it to some of our patients who are suffering from fibromyalgia and generalized aching, as so many of my patients do in middle age and beyond. So also interestingly, I've been eating a ton of food, and it's just, don't get this wrong, this is not a no-carb diet or a low-carb diet or an Atkins diet. This is a diet where there's ample carbohydrates. It's just you don't have any refined sugar or grains. And so, for example, it's not uncommon that I eat a whole little sweet potato or a whole baked potato slathered in ghee, which is permitted. Ghee is butter oil without the casein. It's clarified butter. Remarkably, I noticed I was starting to lose weight. And I first noticed it when I, you know, you put away clothes, like I had put away my summer clothes from last summer, and the weather turned after I'd been on the Whole30 diet for a few months. And then I went to put on my summer suit, which fit fine, you know, snug, in fact. And the pants were super loose. I could put like two fists into the pants. And then I'm not a person who weighs myself. I think I've gone for years without weighing myself because it's always the same. It's like boring. So, you know, before a swim, I jumped on the scale. And I realized that I'd lost about 8 or 10 pounds. And I continued to lose to the point where I've lost about 12 pounds on the diet. Some of it's due to intensification of my exercise program, but some of it is absolutely due to the effects of the Whole30 diet, which remarkably changed my metabolism. It wasn't so much just my caloric intake, but my metabolism changed. Perhaps my microbiome was altered, and that has an influence on obesity and insulin resistance. So the loss of weight from 172 pounds to 158 pounds is an enormous advantage in running and cycling, where a few less pounds dramatically lighten your race workload. So I felt much more ready to undertake a triathlon. And the final thing that I think really made a difference for me, I was introduced to nicotinamide riboside by Jack Duffy of Thorne Research, who's our product representative for Thorne. Thorne is a line of products that are available only via physicians. It's a physician line of nutritional supplements. And they specialize in innovative, really high-quality supplements. And so they got on to nicotinamide riboside. What it is a form of vitamin B3 that supports the production of something called NAD, nicotine adenine dinucleotide, in the body. And that, it's a little bit, in some ways, analogous to coenzyme Q10, which works on the mitochondrion, the energy factory within the cell. But NAD is another part of that energy equation that supplement manufacturers have been trying to create products for. There was a product called Inada that was developed in the 1990s that ended up, I think, being sort of a flash in the pan because it never really delivered its true promise that of raising NAD levels. But nicotinamide riboside has demonstrably raises NAD levels, which enables energy production. And so I was initially skeptical. I tried, you know, he said, urged me to try it a year ago, and I said, okay, I'll try it. But, you know, I tried it. I didn't really notice much. And then he got my attention again after I attended a seminar, and he said, look, our research shows that what I told you last year is not enough to make a difference subjectively for most people. So you should double the dose. Just do it for 2 weeks, and here, try this. So I did, and I really noticed a difference, and many of my patients are noting a difference in their energy and alertness, mental focus. And with when you're trying to work out, you really do notice a difference in your energy because it's kind of like, oh, wow, I was able to do, you know, 60 laps in the pool, you know, last month. Well, this month I'm doing 100 laps. Oh, well, what's up with that? Well, you know, something's changed in your energy metabolism. And or, you know, your time is much better to cover the same amount of ground on a run or on a bike ride. And again, recovery is another issue because what's the good of working out on a weekend and then just being crippled, you know, all week? You can't do anything. That's not going to get you to a triathlon, you know, workout, you know, Saturday and Sunday and then just, you know, be sitting in an Epsom salt bath the rest of the week. That's not going to permit you to have consistent athletic performance. So I doubled it. I used the higher dose of 250 milligrams twice daily, and it really clicked. I did notice improved energy, and my race prep was substantially improved. And in fact, there's a recent study. It's a mouse study, but it's very interesting. What they found is that in mice, who they were knockout mice, where they knocked out their capacity to produce their own NAD, and then they gave them nicotinamide riboside, and they found that the nicotinamide riboside actually improved their NAD levels. It really did work. And it also helped to restore muscle function that is lost due to aging. I mean, there's no question that NAD levels decline as you age. You simply can't produce as much. And so in addition, you know, say you're not interested in triathlons, you just want to walk your dog around the block and you want to stay active in the garden. NAD is a real candidate nutrient for helping support your energy and also to fend off aging in all your organs. Because the way you feel on in a race is really a reflection of, you know, your heart, your brain, all your organ function, even if you're not utilizing your full capacity to, you know, swim, bike, run. You know, 30 some miles. So, at any rate, those are some of the things that I wanted to share with you about my triathlon experience. And if you have any questions, please send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com and we'll endeavor to answer as many of them, as possible. I hope I've shed some light on what it's like to do a triathlon, and I hope I've inspired you to undertake your own personal exercise milestone, whatever it is, whether it's an Ironman triathlon or whether it's a you know, 5K run walk, whatever it is, try and you know, push your own performance capabilities a little bit outside your own comfort zone. I think you'll find it rewarding and there'll be some real payoffs in terms of your health. And I want to thank, you know, all the people involved in supporting me in, getting me across the finish line. My family, you know, who endured my, absences at times and self-indulgence in terms of, you know, some of the chores that I may have, skipped in order to undergo intensive training. although I'm pretty good about washing the dishes and preparing meals, cleaning up after myself. Also some of the people involved, my chiropractor, Dr. Stephen Pruden, my personal trainer, Victor, at the Vanderbilt YMCA, who I worked with over the years to, you know, even after my hip fracture, very, very helpful at helping me recover my strength about 9 or 10 years ago. Jack Duffy of Thorne Research, who provided me with the nicotinamide riboside, as well as a very nice race formula that helped me keep well hydrated and balance my electrolytes during the race. I filled up my my water bottle on my bike with a very nice Thorne Research electrolyte formula. I think it's called Catalyte, that helped fend off heat stroke and dehydration during my long race a couple of Sundays ago. Those are folks I just want to give a shout out to. And thank you, listeners, too, for your interest in following my own personal experiences. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.